I want to thank you, T. Thank you. We're good. Y'all, like, I know he ain't gonna make us stand here. I felt you, Naima. I felt somebody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, team. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Mike. Eric. Gary, thank you. Father, I thank you for everything that you're doing. I thank you that you're supplying every part. I thank you that you are adding to this house, God, according to what it is you desire to do, not only in our lives, but what you desire to do in this season, in this area, in your kingdom. So I thank you now for your word. You said your word would go forth and not return to you void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper whereunto the thing that you have sent it. So I pray that you cause your word to come alive now. Speak to all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. I have been, and I continue to talk about, at least for the next few weeks, this thought, this series, living life on God's terms. Living life on God's terms. Say that. Living life on God's terms. Say it again. Come on. Living life on God's terms. Subtopic, taking back your life. Taking back your life. There's three foundational passages that I've read from. And I just want to reiterate a couple real quick. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4, 5 through 8, where Paul is writing. And in his writing to Timothy, he makes this statement. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In order for Paul to say that, Paul had to recognize or have an understanding that there was an assignment on his life. I believe for every believer, for every one of us, there's an assignment on our lives. You were born with purpose and destiny in mind. You were born to accomplish certain things. The challenge that often happens is many of us are not raised in an environment that helps us to recognize that. And so sometimes, even as a small child, we begin to be swayed by things that we see. We begin to be moved by a culture, popularity, entertainers, all kind of things that can move us into a place where we have something disturbing that we want to do, but it's not maybe exactly the thing that God has intended. The other thing that we deal with is just life, just everyday life. And Paul had a way of remembering what it was God called him to do, what God saved him to do. Now, you remember that Paul, who was Saul, actually was one who, he went after the Christians. Some say he was like back in the day, like a serial killer. I mean, he was going after, putting in jail. He was there when Stephen was stoned, standing to the side, watching that unfold. And it was God who arrested him, brought him into a place of understanding that I have plan and purpose for your life. In Romans 8:26-39, you can read that, but this is the statement that I want us to get, where it says this, and we know that all things work together to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Meaning that everything, anything going on in your life, everything that's transpired in your life, no matter how challenging it's been, no matter how tragic it's been, it could be loss, failure, bad choices, circumstances beyond your control. God is able to use all of it, bring all of it together for your good, for his glory. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Then in Matthew 11, 21 through 20, 28 through 30, it says this. I'm reading from the Message Bible. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. You'll take your life back. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. There is a place that we can live in God, even in the midst of the challenges of life and all that comes with responsibility of still being able to live freely and lightly. Meaning that, and the word says, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. That's what the word says. So we can live in a place where no matter what it is we're dealing with, we can cast that care on him, stay in a place of faith, with which oftentimes, sometimes some of the health challenges we deal with is because of the anxiety that we carry on the inside of us just with the pressures of life. So some people medicate those things. Some folks use other things to try to deaden the pain or the weight of responsibility and just the cares of life. But there is this place that Jesus is talking about that has to do with the unforced rhythms of grace. Say that. Unforced rhythms of grace. There is grace in your life. There is grace in my life. All the grace you will ever need to fulfill a good life in God, that grace is available to you. Even when you find yourself struggling, the best thing that you and I can pray is say, God, give me more grace. Give me more grace. Give me more grace. When Paul was suffering with whatever the ailment was in his life, and it says he sought the Lord three times to be delivered, God said to him, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. Now, I don't know exactly how that works. I just know it works in my life. I don't know what that grace would look like in your life. But as you and I are walking out this faith walk, living life on God's terms, we have to live in the reality that we are in this constant state of transformation. There is the Word of God working in you. There is Holy Spirit working on the inside of you, transforming you on the inside. And then there is the recalibration on the outside that's taking place. So this is the statement that I made. We are in constant state of divine transformation while often accompanied with divine recalibration, meaning God will reorder your steps. It is that eternal GPS system that continues to recalibrate and move you and I into the place that keeps us headed in the direction that God has intended for you and I. One of the things that I want to say to all of us is living life on God's terms is going to take your willingness to trust Him even when you don't understand why he's doing what he's doing. Let me say that again. Part of living life on God's terms is you and I trusting him even when we don't understand what he's doing or why he's doing it. Now, we would like to think that we are people of faith and we learn to walk in faith and we don't have to know everything, but how many would be honest and say, no, I really do want to know some things. It's just part of us. It's just part of it. I really do want to know some things. And there are times when God will lead you and I in a direction. He'll take us to a place and we'll be challenged by it because we have not come to really know God and his ways. We just relate to him based on his acts, based on what he's done. It's in Psalms 103, verse 7, where it says, God showed Moses his ways, but the people his acts. Another way of putting that, the people knew his acts, but Moses knew his ways. And there is a place that you and I can live in, walk in, where you begin to have a sense of God's ways. That's just the way he is. I'm saying that statement. Why would God do that? That's just the way he is. That's just the way he does it. And so I want you to write this statement down or take the picture of it. Put this statement up. Our inability to comprehend God's ways can lead us to doubt God's intentions and mistake a detour as a final destination and a delay as a denial. Can you find that for me, Tracy? And if you don't have that, put that in for me. Just that statement. There we go. Our inability to comprehend God's ways can lead us to doubt God's intentions and to mistake a detour as a final destination and a delay as a denial. And let me show you what I'm talking about. This is in Exodus 13. And we're talking about living life on God's terms, and in this point, trusting him even when you don't understand. He led them by the way of the wilderness. So listen to this. It says, we're familiar with him bringing them out of Egypt. Moses brings them out. But then it says this, when Pharaoh let the people go, Exodus 13, verse 17, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though that way that was shorter, meaning there was a faster way to get there. There was a faster way to get there. When we talk about living life on God's terms, the fastest way is not always the best way. Let patience have her perfect work, that ye be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Everybody say process. Come on, say process. Meaning, listen, when you and I get a word from God and we're encouraged by that prophetic word, there's a process that comes with it that doesn't get rolled out at the same time you get the word. As a matter of fact, the way that God operates oftentimes is he'll show you what it looks like down the road and then back it up. He doesn't want to show you all the hardships or the challenges you have to face on your way there that are making you, that are perfecting you, that are maturing you, so that when you arrive there, you're able to walk in it. He's not going to show you all of that. Our inability to comprehend God's ways can lead us to doubt God's intentions and mistake a detour as a final destination. It says when Moses let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. For God said, if they face war, say opposition. Come on, talk to me. Say opposition. Say resistance. Come on, say challenges. If they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. Man, that's just sad. It says, so he led the people around by the desert road towards the Red Sea, say the wilderness. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. Now, here's the challenge. God leads them out. He's taking them a direction, but they don't have the backdrop of why God is doing it. And often for us, living life on God's terms is going to take a trust in him even when we don't understand why he's doing what he's doing. He leads them, and where he leads them makes them believe he leads them to a dead end. As a matter of fact, in Exodus 14, verse 1, it says this. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, tell the sons of Israel to turn back and camp by Pihahiroth between Migdol and the sea. You shall camp in front of Baal Zephon, opposite it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. I need you to think about this for a moment. Pharaoh's looking at it, thinking they're wandering aimlessly, but God is directing their steps. Hear me now. There are times when you are living life on God's terms that's going to look like you're wandering around aimlessly, when in fact you're right where God has you. Don't allow yourself to be moved by what others are thinking about where you're at and what you're doing. Sometimes God will make it look like you're going backwards or going around in a circle when he just really has you. It's kind of like sometimes when you're flying a plane, they put you in a holding pattern because it's not quite time for your plane to land, or the conditions are not conducive for a safe landing. And so sometimes the pilot will say, we're going to be in a holding pattern for the next 15 minutes. Now, the challenge with that is when you're flying and the pilot doesn't tell you that, okay? And I've been on a flight like earlier this year. I'm on this flight and I'm telling you, we keep circling the airport, and I'm looking down. If I see that runway one more time and I ain't on it, I'm going up there knocking on the door. I mean, and every time we went around, it seemed like the turbulence hit a little more. I'm like, Jesus, you know, I mean, prayer language, a whole nother level. I'm telling you, like, yeah, looking out the window, and he would get down like he's going to land and then go back up.
finally we land, and he says, I apologize for the delay, but there were wind shears over the runway, and we had to wait for them to clear. Is this making sense to you? See, a little information can go a long way, but hear me, in God, sometimes you don't get the information, you just gotta trust him. Once we landed, this was one of them flights. Have you ever been on one of them flights that when you land, everybody claps? You know you just rode through something. You hear some saint in the background, thank you, Jesus. You know, it just, everybody on that plane knew something ain't right about this. And as soon as it lands, you felt everybody exhale and they're clapping. It's like balloons went up in the air and little things flew down. It's like, thank you, Jesus. But the challenge that we have to navigate through is that there are times when God is working it one way, and hear me, it is about you, but it's not about you. Because what God is setting up here is a scenario to deal with Pharaoh once and for all. Hear me now. When we talk about living life on God's terms, God will put you in some situations that you don't really understand, but you got to trust him and trust his good intentions for you. Put that a statement back up there that I had. You got to trust him and not allow your inability to comprehend God's ways to lead you to doubt God's intentions. And unfortunately, that's where a lot of us find ourselves, and we wonder why life never progresses. From the moment we moved onto this property, it was like all hell broke loose, hit one thing after another. And to the skeptic, to the critical-eyed person, I knew God wasn't really in that. Yeah, see, now he done got us out here. Now we out here. I ain't making this up, y'all. I'm gonna show you it in the Word here in a minute. It's right here. It is a pervasive spirit that will find itself from one generation to the next. Hear me, heirs. We got to cut it off. We got to cut it off. So it goes on and says this. Y'all still with me? All right, just give me a few more minutes here. He says, for Pharaoh will say, the sons of Israel, they are wandering aimlessly in the land of the wilderness, and the wilderness has shut them in. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, who's hardening Pharaoh's heart? Hear me. Listen to this. God is working all of this. He is working all of this. He really is working in your life if you will work with him. He really is working in your life if you will work with him. Thus I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after them. And I will be honored through Pharaoh and his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord, and they did so. So God is setting something up. God is setting something up. God is setting something up. What is it that he's setting up for you that he's saying, I just need to be patient with me and trust me now. Just be patient and trust me, because this thing's gonna be big. This thing is going to be huge. What I'm about to do has never been done before. What I'm about to do has never been seen before. As a matter of fact, it'll be seen this one time and never seen again. I need you to stay with me on this, because this is going to be big. This is going to be big. I can imagine God just saying, yeah, just stay out here. Yeah, make them think you're lost. You're not lost. You're lost in my will, found in my grace, holding my hand, seeking my face, anchored in the safety of my secret place. Lost in my, okay. I felt that. Let me be, my shabakata. Let me be lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand. Now that's okay. Seeking your face,
Let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place. Let me be lost in your will, oh God, and found in your grace. I know you love me, and every plan you have for me is for my good, and your ways are much higher than I could ever imagine. So I've learned to put my trust in you, and I've learned to keep my eyes on you. Let me be lost in your will, found in your grace, holding your hand and seeking your face. Let me be anchored in the safety of your secret place. Let me be lost in your will, oh God. Let me be lost in your will, oh God, and found in your grace.
See, to everybody, to Pharaoh, they all thought they were lost. They weren't lost. They were right where God intended for them to be. Tell them to go. I gotta get my glasses so I can see what I'm reading here. He said, they're gonna think you're lost. Let them think you're lost. Because I'm doing something. It drops down and it says, verse 10, now I'm still in Exodus 14. As Pharaoh drew near, the sons of Israel looked, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. They became very frightened. So the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us in this way, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the word we spoke to you in Egypt, saying, leave us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Look at that. Because see, here's the challenge. And if you're taking notes, write this down or put this on the screen next. It's hard to appreciate what God delivers you to when you have no knowledge of what he delivered you from. It's hard to appreciate what God delivers you to when you have no knowledge of what he delivered you from. See, they're not recognizing that God is recognizing. You're not ready for war. You're not ready for this. So I'm going to take you this direction. Now it's going to look like you're going in circles. It's going to look like you're coming to a dead end. It's going to look like you're being set up so the enemy can take you out. But just trust me. Just trust me. Just trust me. Just stay with me, because I'm setting up a scenario here. It's going to be the biggest thing anybody's ever seen before in their life. Never been seen before. Never be seen after. It's a one-time event. You don't want to miss it. What is it that God wants to do in your life? And he's saying, I need you to trust me. I need you to stay with me on this. Stay with me this time. Stay with me this time. Stay with me this time. Because the truth be known, all of us at one time or another have had the thought of backing off, backing up. Didn't work, done. Never going to try it again, never going to do it again. But I'm telling you, you want to live life on God's terms. Not on life's terms. Life will shut you down. Life will tell you it's over. Give up. Go on about your business. That dream wasn't for you anyway. It never was going to happen. And God is saying, oh, I just wish they would try one more time. I wish they would dare to believe one more time. I just want them to just step up one more time. I just want them to stand up one more time and declare my word. The challenge is the people, their inability to comprehend God's ways led them to doubt God's intentions. And so often, if we're not careful, that's exactly what will happen with us. It's hard to appreciate what God delivers you to when you have no knowledge of what he delivered you from. They weren't realizing that God said, no, I'm going to take you this way, because if you have to go up against the Philistines, you're going to be afraid. And it goes on and says in verse 13, but Moses said to the people, do not fear, stand by, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians, say today. No, come on, say today. Say today. Now I'm back to right now. Right now, God. Right now, God. Right now, God. We keep putting things out in the future. You keep putting things out in the future. How many of you need God to show up right now? Right now. I need him to show up right now. Not next week, not next month. I need him to show up right now. And can I tell you, there's some right now faith in the room right now. I got right now faith. I got right now faith. I got right now faith. When I pledged that $500, sat down, and somebody cashed at me $500, I got right now faith. I don't want to miss. I don't want to lose this spot. I don't want this to dissipate. I don't want to regress back into believing God's got to send it in the mail. Every morning I get up, I'm checking my Cash App. Did somebody send me something? I'm looking at my accounts because I have things set up where I have royalties come in from my music. They get directed right into my, I'm checking my balances. Oh, praise God, BMI. Yeah, broadcast music, yeah. Praise God, CCLI, praise God. Right into the account, right into the account. Every now and then somebody, oh, praise, oh, that was my son, wow. Yeah, I had one of my sons say, check your Cash App. Usually, I'm telling them, check your Cash App. One of my sons the other night, we're talking. God blessing him, he said, check your Cash App. I checked my Cash App, I said, thank you, Jesus. Texting you right back. Thank you, son. God bless you. Right now, say right now. And I'm wanting us to get that we're in this season where God is saying, I will do it right now if you can believe me for right now. The woman with the issue of blood said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'm going to be healed next week. No, she's thinking right now. Right now. Blind Bartimaeus, who hears that Jesus is coming along, he's heard the testimonies, he's heard the stories, and he hears he's coming by, Jesus! Now he ain't thinking, if I say his name, maybe next week he'll remember I said his name. He's like, right now, right now, right now. This is the place we're in. If you're connected to this house, if you're visiting today, this message is for you. This is right now. It's right now. What is it you believe in God for? That's right now. I'm not talking about just finance. It can be health, healing, whatever it is. It can be relationships that need to be restored. Right now. Moses says, today God's going to do this. You will never see them again forever. I don't know what the difference is between again and forever, but that's that's pretty final. You'll never see them again. Okay. Forever. That's just like an add-on. Yeah. Never see them again. Forever. Then look at this. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the sons of Israel to go forward. As you lift up your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, the sons of Israel shall go through the midst of the sea on dry ground. As for me, I love that. As for me, because there God is saying, you do your part, I'll do my part. This is your assignment. This is my assignment. Now, your assignment is your assignment is to wow the people. you get to stretch the rod. He said, because we're about to do something nobody's ever seen before. They'll never see it again. It's the biggest event that has ever happened. One-time event. You don't want to miss it. You stretch out your hand, part the sea. I'll handle Pharaoh. Moses stands there, stretches out his hand. The orchestra starts rising up. The music starts playing. Moses stretches forth his hand. All of a sudden, everybody's looking.
For us to move forward in the way that God has intended, living life on God's terms, listen to me, you will need to eliminate the victim mentality.
Yeah.
You will need to eliminate the victim mentality. The thing that hindered the people of God was a victim mentality.
Yes.
Oppressed. That even while they were coming out, faced with opposition, they thought we were better off being under bondage than being out here dealing with this. Living life on God's terms is the most liberating life you can live. It is the most powerful life you can live. But you have to break that victim mentality. You have to break that poverty mentality. You have to break that sinner saved by grace mentality and see yourself as a son and daughter of the living God. See yourself as heir and joint heir, and then walk in that authority in every area of your life. So I declare that even today, right now, some things have been broken. Throughout the course of this day, we started at 8:45. Yeah. And I'm telling you, it's been incredible. It's been, yeah, come on. It's been incredible. Things are breaking, things are shifting, and it's happening right now. My encouragement that you will leave today, you get in your car and you will leave out this parking lot with the mindset some things have shifted right now. Then you walk in the expectation of seeing the reality of it. When the scripture says, whatever you bind on earth, what's it say? No, hear me now. Whatever you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. That's the key.
See, you don't say it, then heaven does it. You say it because heaven did it. So, I don't say I'm healed, so he'll do it. I say I'm healed because he did it. Y'all clapping just a little too patty cakey right about now. I'm trying to help us. I really am. I'm trying to help all of us. I don't say I'm prosperous so that he will do it. I say I'm prosperous because he already did it. I don't say I'm victorious so he will make me victorious. I say I'm victorious because he's already made me victorious. Some of us, I'm really trying to wrap this up, but you know, maybe in your quiet time when you get away, get home, get somewhere and get still and say, Father, forgive me for my small-minded thinking about you and about me. I repent for my small-minded thinking. See, that's where God brought them out of Egypt. Worked one miracle after another to show and demonstrate his power to Pharaoh. And when the Egyptian magicians started doing some of the things that Moses did, God just took it to a whole nother level, shut it down. And when that didn't work, then he landed in a place, he said, I'm gonna finish it once and for all, the firstborn of every family. But for those of you with me, offer up the sacrifice, take the blood, put it across the doorpost. And when the death angel comes, sees the blood, you'll be protected. He brings them out. Fulfills his word. When they come out, he says to Abraham, they will be in bondage 400 some years. But when they come out, I will bring them out wealthy. When they came out, they plundered the Egyptians. They came out with all the wealth of Egypt. But they're small-minded thinking. Them to doubt God just because he took them away that they couldn't understand. Help us, God. Help us, God. Deliver us from this small-minded thinking. Forgive us for thinking small of you and small of ourselves. We repent and ask you to forgive us. Change us, change our minds. Help us to change. 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 Help us to change.